This program is brought to you by P1 Australia, quality racing components, and manufacturers of engine water heaters for midgets, sprints, wingless, and all types of open-wheel dirt track cars. Check out their full range today at p1australia.com.
Thunder Media.
Hi, I'm Jack LeBrock.
Hi, I'm David Reynolds.
Hi, I'm Chaz Mostert, and you're listening to Inside Supercars.
From the racetracks across Australia, and here's Inside Supercars.
Coming up on this episode of Inside Supercars.
To be honest, the whole track was difficult because as soon as you lose the 10th here, it adds up, and then you lose the 10th at the next corner, and it just, it was very easy to be, you know, a second off.
You know, we'll put some things in place and we're looking to really try to get on top of the problem sooner rather than later. And
unfortunately, I got in the situation where I made a mistake on my first flying laps, so it makes it really, really hard to try and go and get a good time in the second lap.
So sit back and enjoy as Inside Supercars starting now. Welcome back to Inside Supercars, Tony Whitlock and Craig Revell, and we're joined by Ryan Wood, fresh from a busy day at the weekend at Albert Park. Ryan, welcome back to Inside Supercars for our rookie review.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. It's a tough weekend, but the one thing that you did do this weekend was complete the four races, not just the two that Bathurst rather robbed you of, but you got four races under your belt now.
Yeah, it was nice to get some racing laps in for us. Showed some great speed over the weekend in the race. It was reversal of Bathurst. We were good in qualifying and didn't get any racing laps. Where this weekend, we probably, I didn't maximise qualifying at all and, showed some speed in races. So, a lot of learnings to take out of the weekend, but enjoyed it.
As you well and truly saw with your teammate, in fact, involved in one of those incidents that caused not only his own demise, but Matt Payne, who obviously is a fellow countryman. I'm sure that you would have been pleased to see him get a win again, but wasn't to be. Chaz put up his hand very quickly and said that was my fault. You must have realised that the people were all out there racing for sheep stations.
Yeah, they definitely race pretty hard out there, obviously. It's, to be honest, like in race four for us, I made a mistake and unfortunately hit Cam Hill off the road. But at the end of the day, it was one of the parts of the racetrack where you sort of flat out for most of the stage, and I understand what he was trying to do, break early and get the run off. But yeah, couldn't really do anything when I had two cars to my outside when he kind of broke super early and didn't really have anywhere to go. But hey, look, at the end of the day, it's one of those things, we all go racing. And yeah, it's just unfortunate that it not only ruined my race, but I ended up ruining his race as well. But I'm sure there'll be plenty more of I'm sure he'll get me back in another time.
One thing, without at all being rude or deferential to your rapid rise through motor racing, because you must almost pinch yourself a bit to think that I'm on the same track as the Verstappens and Hamiltons of the world race on, because you have had a very quick path to get where you are now.
Yeah, it's obviously been quite fast. But in saying that, I've done it with minimal sort of budget. A lot of it's come down to results, and I've managed to prove myself in the lower ranks. That's managed to get me the opportunities I've got now. So, you pinch yourself, but I still expect myself to perform each weekend. And I, know if I've done a bad job, I'm hard on myself. And if I've done a good job, then I'm sure I'll get told I've done a good job. So,
Well, I'm not for one second taking away from, because it's skill and daring that have got you where you are. Your ability behind the wheel to steer a car and get it up to a good place You showed excellent form last year in the development series, and I'm very pleased that real talent got the opportunity to come and shine in the category, because obviously young drivers is what the category needs and feeds on. And Bruce Stewart and all the people at Walkinshaw Andretti United have given you the opportunity, and you will, I'm sure, in time, certainly be able to repay them. Was there any aspect of driving on that track? I mean, we know that qualifying was very difficult. It was very tight for a large part of it. Was there any part of the track that in particular you went, wow, this is really hard?
Yeah, obviously the style of the track is quite different to what we're used to racing on. So you've kind of got to drive the car quite a bit different, to be honest. But, for me, I enjoyed the new challenge. I'd never driven there previously. So to, enjoy a challenge over the weekend was great. But to be honest, the whole track was difficult, because as soon as you lose a tenth here, it adds up, and then you lose the tenth at the next corner. And it just, it was very easy to be, a second off. But I was pretty happy by the end of the weekend. I was about, and even in qualifying, let's say 3 or 4 tenths off on Chaz. And, I'm pretty happy with that, considering it was my first time there. But, there's still a lot I've got to improve on, but I'm just taking it each round as it comes.
And, of course, you're actually almost racing in your home suburb nowadays, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the last weekend we'd just gone. I live in Albert Park, so it was cool to race there. And then, obviously, the next round's in New Zealand where I grew up, so that'll be great as well.
All right. Well, it's something certainly to look forward to at racing. Whereabouts do you come from?
In New Zealand, I'm from Wellington, so we race in Taupo, 5 or 6 hours away from Wellington.
Yeah, not far at all. I know the country. I did grow up there for 3.5 years of my life, albeit it was back in the 1950s, a time when you can't imagine.
Yeah, exactly. It's all changed a little bit now.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, well, as usual, we'd love to hear that one thing that you took away from Albert Park. That thing that you learnt from having raced and qualified on the streets of Albert Park, what was it that, as a rookie, that you say, gee, that's going to help me in the future?
To be honest, I thought the driving standards was the biggest thing that's the difference from Super 2. I guess for me, everyone goes on about Super 2 being a crash fest, but I think, to be honest, and on the weekend, apparently the Grand Prix brings the worst out of everyone from a driving standards perspective. And I'm not saying I'm an angel, but every time I was around the outside of someone, I would just get the wheel opened on me. So, it's pretty eye-opening. It wasn't what I expected. There was a lot of, top drivers that race in that championship. And, I guess just kind of was eye-opening to see what they race like. It's very aggressive, and that's obviously, to have those laps under my belt and those scenarios happen to me, to now move forward will help me in the future. I made a mistake in that last race with Cam, but there was a moment earlier in that race where he opened the wheel on me and just about broke my steering. So it's one of those things.
Well, certainly I look forward to seeing you on the streets of Lake Taupo, so to speak. You would have enjoyed the crowds in the stands and around the hills of Albert Park, but the one thing that was so obviously missing were any crowds in the supercars paddock, because that just seems a massive miss by the part of the organisers.
Yeah. It's obviously not ideal for especially our team. We do a massive amount of effort, put in a massive amount of effort for putting our sponsors and family and friends and the fans through our pits. Usually we let a lot of fans sit in the back of our pits while races are going on. So to not have that aspect wasn't ideal, but Yeah, I guess going back there in the future, I'm sure that they'll change that, because I know there was a lot of debate around it.
Yeah, indeed. One of the things that's been terrific for this year is the fact that all the New Zealand drivers, you know, there's a fair-sized pack of you nowadays, of course, with Andre and Matt and Richie, that you must have been enjoyed, going back there to promote the event, to have the New Zealand press and journalists and the media surrounding you, asking you questions about it. That must be really make you feel really terrific to be part of that moment.
Yeah, it's obviously awesome to go back and be part of our home race. You know, lucky enough to be quite good mates with all the boys. So, you know, obviously me and Matt Payne grew up racing together, best mates now. And, you know, Richie, Jackson and Andre get along with like a house on fire. So it's great to, you know, be able to share these experiences about promoting the event with each other. And I'm sure we all deep down, if one of us can't win, we'll want the other to, you know, I'm saying if I can't win, I'll want one of those Kiwi boys to win it. So it'll be a special weekend, and for me and Matt, it'll be our first home race, and same for Jackson. So it'll be pretty cool.
Indeed. Ryan Wood, we thank you very much for joining us again on Inside Supercars. I hope I'm there when you do get your first podium. I'm sure that'll happen at some stage this year, and look forward to when you maybe make the very top step. So Ryan Wood of Walkinshaw Andretti United, thank you again for joining us on Inside Supercars.
Thank you very much.
Well, Jackson Evans has had his AGP supercar experience for 2024. Jackson, the wide open spaces of Albert Park are a lot different to many of the tracks, and particularly Bathurst, that you kicked off your rookie year at.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's that typical, I guess, European-style circuit, I guess. You know, and that's why it suits the Formula One cars so well. But, you know, very different, open, fast and flowing. You know, not too dissimilar from Bathurst in terms of top speeds and things like that, but certainly a different challenge.
What was it like having the short races? And these are probably even shorter than the Porsche races that you've been used to racing overseas in the last few years.
Yeah, I didn't mind the short races, to be honest. I mean, I think it's, I don't know if it was something in the water that weekend or just the way that everyone was feeling. It was certainly some pretty brutal racing, you know, a lot of biff and barge between all the drivers, but it was kind of cool to be part of, you know, that sprint style of racing, no pit stops needed. So it was sort of a case of managing your tyres, but also trying to make up as many places as you could, as quickly as you could before they went away. You know, so yeah, pretty short, but you know, to have four of them was pretty nice, and I enjoyed it, even though performance probably wasn't the best.
And how are you resetting your goals after each race meeting, and particularly after this one, knowing that you don't really go to back to another track like it?
Yeah, I think our goals still stay pretty similar, to be honest. You know, I haven't really set a target on, you know, what I should be achieving. It's more of what I want to achieve, and, you know, that's to be further up the grid than what we are at the moment. And I think it's no secret that we're going through some pretty tough times at BJR at the moment in terms of our performance. But, you know, we've just got to get back on track, stick to our guns, and, you know, try to get on top of the problems that we're facing. And, you know, I'm learning every time I get in the car. I'm improving every time I get in the car, even though it may be just little things in terms of driving ergonomics and whatnot, but I'm still enjoying it.
And what about the weekend experience? You've raced Porsches there before from memory, but what was it like being locked out and not even having any fans around?
It wasn't great in that respect, to be honest, but, you know, it's the way that the cookie crumbles and where we ended up, you know, being placed by the Grand Prix or Formula One for that regard. But, you know, it's a massive event. So it was a bit of a shame not to have all the all the fans able to come and see the cars kind of up close, you know, rather than seeing the back of the garages when we can get them nice and close. They would have been able to see the cars front on and see the guys working on them and things like that. So it was a bit of a shame, but, you know, from a driving point of view, it doesn't change too much. We're still able to walk around and, you know, mingle with the people in and out of the lanes. So it was enjoyable, but it could have been, I guess, a little bit better.
Was there any sort of change in the plan of attack, knowing that you were going to have to do more things outside of perhaps the pit compound than you would probably normally do?
I wouldn't really say change in the plan of attack. We just had to be across our media commitments and things, which isn't too hard. We've got someone in the team that looks after that and makes sure we're on time. And, you know, it was just, I guess, making sure we read the team schedules rather than relying on someone else to come and fetch us. So, you know, it wasn't all bad.
Is the level of media and probably sponsor commitments significantly higher this year in supercars to what you've previously experienced?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, coming from a customer racing background, at least in the last 2 years, you know, racing with many different teams with Porsche around the world, you know, we're not sort of fixed to one team and the team isn't, I guess, relying on sponsors to go racing. It's normally the co-driver or the bronze driver that's funding the car that, you know, we're racing with. So you spend more time with him rather than at, you know, media commitments or sponsor showings and things like that. But, you know, that side of things is all part of supercars, and it's what makes the sport so successful for everyone involved. And, you know, it's a good return on investment for anyone that is involved in the sport. So it's a small part of the job, but I actually quite enjoy it.
Is it something that comes natural to you to be able to wine and dine with the sponsors so close to us to having to get into race mode?
Yeah, I'm not too bad at it, I guess. You know, some people may say otherwise, but at least the personal feeling is it's not too hard. You know, you're obviously grateful for these opportunities that people provide you with, and you kind of know as a racing driver, especially in this championship, that without those people, the sport probably doesn't operate in the level that it does, but you may not have a job. So, you know, that side of things, it's easy to kind of switch hats, you know, from racing driver to looking after the sponsors and the people that give you the opportunities. So I don't find it too bad. And, you know, once the helmet goes on, you're pretty much dialed in and focused on the job ahead.
Now, you've just come out of debrief as we speak, and you mentioned it was a tough weekend for the team. What was the theme that the collective took from the weekend?
Yeah, look, we're not happy with where we're at. The positive thing is all drivers have similar feedback, you know, which for me, I think, is the first tick. So it's not like we're all complaining of something completely different, and therefore is the reason that we don't have the performance that we want. It's a pretty common theme across our feedback, or in the information that we're relaying to our engineers and the team. So, you know, we've put some things in place, and we're looking to really try to get on top of the problem sooner rather than later. And, you know, hopefully we can turn it around, and come Kaupo, we'll be pretty confident in the car that we've got, or at least hopefully heading in the right direction.
Well, let's talk about that now, moving on to Taupo. And is it Taupo or Taupo? I keep getting it wrong since that slight change in the way it's described these days. But
yeah, it's either Taupo or Taupo.
So. Taupo. but you were over there in New Zealand having a look at Taupo and doing a bit of promotion with the other New Zealand drivers, which is a fair expense these days because there's quite a few of you.
Yeah, look, it was, well, I think for me it was awesome to go back to New Zealand. It was the first time for me in probably 5 years, just due to my living arrangements in Europe and, you know, COVID during that period as well. It made it difficult to get back. But, yeah, it's a lovely place. It's a beautiful part of the world. It's a beautiful country. I obviously speak very highly of it because I was born there. But you know, I've got family and friends in Taupo, so you know, looking forward to having them trackside. I think there's a lot of things that people can do sort of within the close vicinity of the track, so I think the event as a whole is going to be very exciting. And you know, to have the Kiwi supporters there that are so passionate and love the sport as much as we all do over here, I think will be a welcome reception for the championship, and hopefully the start of something bigger and better moving forward.
Now, one of the things you can do in Taupo is go bungee jumping. And was it only that the Brad Jones Racing drivers were brave enough to do it? Because I know that you and Andre did take the chance to, leap off the side of a perfectly good bridge.
Yeah, look, it was certainly only the two of us that were brave enough to get up there and jump. And, you know, we tried to encourage the other boys to get out there and do the same thing, because it's a pretty cool experience. It's a fun thing to do, and it's a very, you know, different adrenaline rush. But, yeah, they weren't so keen. Kind of chickened out at the very end. So, yeah, it looked like it was just a BJR fun day out, because we were the only ones that were brave enough to get up there and have some fun.
And I imagine you'd recommend it to anyone who's going over there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a beautiful facility, super cool and energetic locals working there. And, you know, the view, at least when you're standing on the edge of the perfectly fine bridge that you jump off, is spectacular. You know, looking down at the water, it's beautiful blue and clear. So no, I highly recommend. And if you've never done it before, you should definitely do it once in your life.
Did you touch the water?
No, they tried to set me up to touch the water, and I kind of caught on to that pretty quickly. They wanted me to just kind of slowly dive off the edge, because I could tell that they wanted to dunk me in the water. And I was wearing my white SCT Logistics shirt, and I knew that we were going to the track straight after. So I casually jumped as far as I could so that I didn't end up in the water.
Have you done it before?
I've done it once before. I've got a younger sister who's a bit of an adrenaline seeker as well, and it probably would have been, you know, 8 years ago that we went and did it, and she encouraged me, and I kind of couldn't back out then. So it was a cool experience then, and it was even cooler now.
You did have a look at the track. How many years has it been since you've actually raced at Taupo?
It's been a lot. It's been 27 years or however old I am, because I've never raced at Taupo. I've been to the circuit, but never raced. So, you know, really looking forward to that. Obviously, sounds a bit strange being a Kiwi, and, you know, I was only born down the road. We're not too far away, and I've never raced at the circuit, but I'm confident that we'll still have a good showing, and hopefully my first time racing there is a good time.
Are you doing much in and around the race weekend? Going over early or anything like that in getting set up for it and helping to press the flesh? Because understanding it's a sellout or almost a sellout already, you don't need to get more people to buy tickets.
No, it's awesome to see the way that it's sold out. You know, I think only a few tickets left for Friday's event. But, you know, awesome to see the crowd getting behind it. The Kiwis love their motorsport. And, you know, I'll go over a little bit earlier and, you know, see my pop and some family, which will be, you know, really nice. It's been a few years since I've done that. And, you know, take my partner over with me and show her some local spots. And, you know, should be a good week and hopefully a good weekend.
Well, as we always ask our rookies on the show, what was the one thing you learned from the Australian Grand Prix weekend?
Oh, it's a tough one. I learned more than one thing. But certainly I think the biggest thing is, you know, if you're going to race against these guys in this championship, you know, you've got to race hard. You've got to get your elbows out and don't take any crap from anyone, because it's, you know, it's pretty easy to get freight trained. Someone goes down the inside, you've got to be, you know, willing to fight hard for that position, otherwise you end up dropping more than one. So I learned that pretty quickly, and you know, put it in the back pocket for next time and learn from it.
And I know, well, I can only imagine you've got a pretty cool simulator rig there, so you've probably done a few laps of the track that you've not physically raced on yet.
Yeah, I have. It's you know, that's the perfect way to learn circuits these days, and it's a pretty cool tool. You know, thankful to the guys at SimRigs in Australia who, you know, hooked me up, and it's a beautiful machine. I'm enjoying driving it. I get to drive basically at tracks all over the world, but it's the perfect tool for learning a place like Taupo that I've not raced at.
Well, it's a pleasure to catch up with you, Jackson, and we wish you all the very best on your home soil in a few weeks' time.
Thanks very much. It was obviously great to chat, and you know, hopefully that luck goes a long way.
And we're joined by Aaron Love. Welcome back to the show, Aaron.
Thank you. It's good to be back again.
I imagine that, you know, it was a track you had driven on before in Carrera Cup days, but it's a pretty tough ask, that track, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the easiest of tracks when you haven't driven there for a year or so. And definitely in a supercar, there's a lot less downforce. So the car moves around a lot more, you know, around the whole back complex that's all been redone in a Porsche, it's easy flat. In a supercar, you're kind of questioning yourself every second lap. So, it was definitely a lot of fun. It was challenging at times, but to finish off the weekend where we ended up was definitely a positive, given that we definitely struggled at the start of the weekend.
One of the things that became very evident throughout the weekend, through qualifying sessions and obviously through the four races, was that it's a take-no-prisoner sort of race. I mean, we had Cam Waters, Matt Payne. Obviously, Matt was very advantaged because he had two potential, maybe not race wins, but certainly very strong places that both weren't asking, one with Cam Waters' contact and the other one with Chas Mostert. Do you very much feel that when you're out there racing in the pack at somewhere like, because it's so wide and open, do you feel that pressure from other competitors?
I don't think it's really a nature of the track. Obviously, the cars being less downforce, it's a lot nicer to close to follow with other cars. But normally we have, you know, we still did have the battle, but normally you've got the battle of having a lot longer stint on the tyres, so you got to look after them a lot more. So having a lot shorter races opened up for drivers to kind of take the point of view of, I'm just going to race as hard as I can at the start of the race. If I burn up my tyres, I burn them up, and then I'll just have to cover off. So you could definitely still burn your tyres up in the first, you know, 3, 4, 5 laps and have to really work hard to look after them for the rest of the race. But with the race being maximum 20 laps, you know, and all the way down to, I think, race 2 was really only 5 laps of green flag running, it opens up for a lot of drivers to, you know, take the risk and take the lunge that they wouldn't normally take, which is why the racing was so much more full on, especially even in that last race, being only 15 laps, but also the last race of the weekend, no one's got to build a car to go racing the next day. So, yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. And, you know, I know a few drivers probably weren't all that big fans of being in pit lane and didn't have the opportunity to do pit stops, but from my point of view, having that opportunity to, you know, try out different methods from each race to race, you know, how much do I push at the start versus how much do I push in the middle and the end, vice versa, was very good. You know, we kind of experienced everything with the car as well. So from my point of view, it was a very, you know, positive weekend of learning with the car, but also how to drive in those certain situations. So yeah, very happy.
And tell me, of course, being just sprint races with no pit stops, that's something that you're used to, because in Carrera Cup, of course, that's what happens. But and obviously disadvantaged because no fans, no pit lane, no pit stops. Do you feel that it's well worthwhile still being there?
I think definitely, like, super, the size of the event is that big now. I think it's a bit of a must. If you kind of look at it, you know, 2020 or pre-COVID, you'd probably second guess it a lot. But with the size of the event now, I think it's a no-brainer that we're there. Whether it's a championship race or not, I think it's a different debate. Or perhaps they just need to review how much track time we get and maybe look at longer qualifying sessions and something, you know, that Super Cup does. Like they have an, I think it's a half an hour qualifying session for the race. So you've got the opportunity to throw a couple sets of tyres at it and get a good couple goes. Whereas, you know, we had, I think, 2 15-minute qualifying sessions per race. So you really get one set of tyres for it. And with the way the tyre compound works, you only get one lap. You know, there's definitely no chances of getting two. Unfortunately, I got in the situation where I made a mistake on my first flying laps. So it makes it really, really hard to try and go and get a good time the second lap. You know, you really lose the peak of the tyre. So it kind of takes away from that a little bit, which I guess is frustrating for us drivers and us teams. But I guess from the spectator point of view, if you make a mistake, you know, say if you're in a car that's good enough for the top five, but you made a mistake on your first lap, and all of a sudden all you've got is good enough for 20th or 15th, then it's going to put on a pretty good show for the fans. So there's kind of two debates for it, I guess. But for me, it's definitely a no-brainer to keep on going.
There were plenty of people who had plenty of lowlights, and I'll obviously include Matt Payne. I mean, he did get a couple of thirds, but having taken his first pole, it was probably a fairly lowlight for him the next two races. Can you tell me some idea about what you thought were your highlights for the weekend?
I guess, like, obviously, you know, moving on from Bathurst and kind of getting rid of some of those errors that I was making, you know, whether it was a minor error that led into, you know, a pretty big, I guess, misfortune, or, you know, a small mistake that leads into a large consequence, or whether or not that's the case. But kind of to move on and, you know, just get the head back down and keep on racing was obviously good. But also I think for the team it was really positive. You know, they're still working at developing all of their programs to make it a lot easier for us when we want to make changes to the cars. We know exactly what it's going to do. So from that aspect, it was a big positive. I would say, you know, we struggled with the car quite a lot earlier in the weekend, and we kind of would, you know, kind of flip the balance whenever we needed to change it, but it would go from one end of the spectrum to the complete other. So that was a little bit annoying, and sometimes we would, you know, have a car that felt really good but wasn't very fast, or we had a car that felt really bad but was fast. But, you know, to kind of work through it during the weekend, and I guess having the four short races gave us a better opportunity to work on the car, was good. So kind of finishing off the weekend, you know, we ended up 12th in the last race, which was nice. But also have a car that, you know, feels relatively nice. Definitely could have been better in some areas, but was more of a happy medium of the balance that we've been chasing all weekend. So, you know, we weren't coming out of the weekend going, you know, scratching our heads and going, oh, what, you know, we never really quite got there and we were never quite happy with the car. You know, we kind of got to a stage go, we're relatively happy with the car. The car feels nice to drive. And now we could, you know, if we were to keep on going or to go back there again, we could just do smaller changes, more fine tuning, rather than, you know, geez, we need to throw some big changes here to try and get some pace out of it, which we were really doing all weekend. So to come out, you know, with that mentality is really nice. And yeah, to have had a smooth weekend, both cars are straight, no big damage, you know, probably just a couple of panels that have been rubbed together, but that's supercars, is all good. So yeah, I think AGP is just a weekend for us where we can go, right, that, you know, probably really should have been what the performance we wanted at round one. So we'll just have to keep on building on that and move forward.
Well, Aaron, as we do at every round after we do our rookie reviews, we have a question which, of course, encompasses our weekend of qualifying and racing. And if you could summarise and give us that one thing that you feel that you learnt from a weekend driving supercars on the Albert Park Grand Prix track.
I took away a lot, to be honest. So it's a bit tough. But, yeah, I would say the biggest thing was probably just gaining the more experience about how to race these cars. They're obviously very unique to race with the tyre that they have, and the racing itself that supercars produces is very unique to itself. So, you know, to have those four races and that opportunity to try different things, and, you know, just because it's four different races, then you kind of get four different scenarios of how everybody else is racing. So to keep on building the knowledge and the experience of how the racing works and, you know, what you can use at different times and how to use it is a big benefit. So, yeah, just the racing experience would be my biggest take out of the weekend.
Well, that's fantastic. And I imagine that you wouldn't have raced on Taupo or Taupo racetrack, would you?
I did a small race there at the end of last year in a Super Tourer car. So very minimal experience, but it'll definitely be a big game changer in a supercar, and I think they've done a lot of work to the track as of recently. So I don't think anyone can really put their bets on safely as to what's to expect.
All right, well, I expect to see you at Lake Taupo, Taupo, and I was first there a long time ago, so I'm used to calling it Taupo, and so I stumble over Taupo. But Aaron, I look forward to being there and seeing in person you racing around the track there. It's a wonderful little place, and I'm looking forward to it enormously, and I am sure you will as well.
Definitely am. So yeah, I'll see you there.
Inside Supercars is produced by Thunder Media. Tune in next time for more, or lock in the podcast on your iTunes or mobile device. Search Inside Supercars. The views expressed on Inside Supercars, including the panelists and guests, do not reflect the views of the network, Thunder Media, or Sport Radio. Any publication or rebroadcast of the show without the expressed written permission of Thunder Media is strictly prohibited. Join in the conversation, post your thoughts on our Facebook page, and to ask a question, email insiders@sportradio.com.au.
This program is brought to you by P1 Australia, quality racing components, home of Black TI, bolts, kingpins, studs, and torsion stops. Check out their full range today at p1australia.com.